CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, speaking to Professor Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. Right now, he's in the Middle East for Georgetown, but he's headed Washington's way. And preparation for this meeting between the two presidents, Mr. Putin and Mr. Biden, Anatole and I discussed a document, a paper he published about what might have worked, might have done at the Geneva conference, and that's Ukraine. And Anatole, I mentioned that Mr. Biden referenced Ukraine, and there's been much written about it before and afterwards, in conjunction with the word NATO, NATO and Ukraine. Now, Ukraine is fragmented right now, the Donbass, Crimea, and then Kiev and Western Ukraine. But NATO, and what the vice president, what the president indicated was that perhaps Kiev is not ready for NATO now, but the door is open, or whatever the metaphor was. I don't remember it exactly. As I recall, that was something that you thought there could be progress upon. Do you regard anything that happened yesterday as progress? And I note that Kiev is clamoring for entrance into NATO, and what that would mean with Moscow is dire.
Mm-hmm. On Tuesday, President Zelensky of Ukraine basically tried to trap Biden into an immediate offer of NATO membership, and the Biden administration sort of wriggled out of that by saying, you know, just as you've said, that the door is open, but making absolutely no, you know, short-term or specific commitment. I mean, the point is, you see, that Ukraine cannot be admitted to NATO as long as it has these open conflicts with Russia, because that would point, you know, you would then have an Article 5 guarantee to Ukraine, which would commit America and NATO to go to war with Russia. I mean, war with Russia, you know, with the other nuclear superpower of the world. And as soon as you phrase it in those terms, you know, the whole thing becomes ridiculous. The Europeans won't fight. America only has 24,000 armed, you know, servicemen in Europe, and you know, most of those, the vast majority of those, are not ground troops. It's just not a serious proposition. So my sense is that NATO membership for Ukraine will be kicked down the road indefinitely. The problem is, of course, that as long as the possibility remains open, this is a tremendous cause of tension with Russia. The thing that really disappointed me was that only Putin recalled that, you know, there is a peace proposal for eastern Ukraine in place, negotiated by France, Germany, Russia, and Ukraine in 2015, the Minsk Agreement, and by the way, endorsed not just by the United Nations Security Council, but by the United States as well, by the Obama administration. And, you know, that has never been withdrawn by the United States. But the U.S. has done absolutely nothing to try to bring that agreement about, which basically provides for guaranteed autonomy for eastern Ukraine, but under Ukrainian sovereignty, plus demilitarization and an international peacekeeping force, so, you know, autonomy with international guarantees. Now, the principal factor in blocking that agreement, not the only one, but the principal one, has been the opposition of Kiev and of the Ukrainian parliament to granting this autonomy to this Russian-speaking area. And, of course, Washington has never been willing to bring any kind of pressure or influence to bear on Kiev to get them to actually, you know, go along with this agreement, which they did sign up to. So Putin, you know, mentioned the Minsk agreement, but there was no sign, you know, from the U.S. side of a renewed or serious commitment to it. I just wrote a long paper on this for the Quincy Institute. You know, this solution, autonomy for the Donbass within Ukraine, is the only possible solution to this conflict. And it's a kind of solution which has been adopted, you know, with American encouragement in other places like, you know, Britain's Northern Ireland, for example. So there is no objection in principle to such a solution. And, you know, if that is not the solution to the Donbass conflict, then there is no solution, because the only other possible one is that Ukraine will attack, as Georgia attacked Russian positions in South Ossetia in 2008. If Ukraine does that, Ukraine will be defeated, and America will not save Ukraine. So, I mean, at present, we're stuck with, you know, what I've called a zombie policy on the part of the United States. You know, it's wandering around, but it's not actually going anywhere.
Well, then I will ask the cynical question. Is it useful to Washington to keep the open wound? And do you anticipate that through the Biden term, it will stay as it is right now, frozen and bothersome to Moscow? We have about a minute.
I'm sure it's not advantageous to the United States, and I'm not sure that, you know, members of the blob even think it's advantageous to the Biden administration. But the problem is that having made all these verbal commitments to Ukraine, it would take immense moral courage to change American policy. It would lead, obviously, to violent attacks, utterly hypocritical by the Republicans. And I'm afraid that moral courage is not the main distinguishing feature of many members of the American blob, or any other blob, for that matter.
Does it then serve a purpose of keeping Moscow tense about this? It does upset Moscow a deal.
It does, but then, of course, it also leads to Russian hostility to America in areas where actually cooperation and, to use an old Cold War term, détente, would be possible.
That is old-fashioned of you, Anatole, détente. you and Henry Kissinger détenting away. Anatole Levin. Anatole is at the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, traveling to Washington soon enough to join with the detenteurs of the blob. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.